Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
As many of you know, recently I was installed as a apostolic voice in the house and as a equipping pastor, outreach. And I want to spend the next couple of Sundays, I'll be preaching again next Sunday, about what that looks like as far as authority is concerned. And it might shock you. But it's different than we sometimes understand apostolic authority to be. But this morning, I just want to talk about what's that going to look like. One of the reasons that I was put in that position is because there's a recognition of the elders that I see things a little differently than some of the other leaders do, and rather than and so that's celebrated. And one of the perspectives I have is that you are a minister. And one of the challenges that we can often have as a local church is people want the church to be all about them, and it's not. I mean, it is to a degree, but the reality is that sooner or later, my life has to be about more than just about me. And sooner or later, there's got to come a place to where I realize the abundance of the love of God that we talked about a few minutes ago and we got all excited about. Sooner or later, there's got to be a revelation that this love of God that I live in, I can give away and I've got to give away. I cannot just bask in it, and I cannot just pull it onto myself and sit on a beach somewhere and soak up the love of God and never tell anybody else about it. That's what equipping is. See, that's different than discipleship. Discipleship is getting in the place of growing in my relationship with that love of God. Equipping is growing in my ability to give it away. The equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There are people around you who need to be encouraged. Not just here in this building, but in out there. See, when I think of outreach, I don't think of a crusade. I think of a body going into their spheres of influence and impacting the people around them. That's outreach to me. And that's a part of our vision. I'm going to this morning revisit a little bit the foundation of Living Waters Church, even our namesake, if I could say it that way. There is a proverb that says, do not remove the ancient foundations. Many of you who are builders know that there are times when you rebuild, that you rebuild on the same foundation. Now, you might enlarge, you might do all kinds of things, but the reality is that the foundation is there for a reason. No matter what we're talking about, whether in the natural or in the spirit. So I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 7. Be a very familiar text for most of you. How do we give away? When I put forth an encouragement to you and maybe even a challenge that you are a minister, I can feel the air go out of the room. It's like, me? Yes, you. But you are a minister not like anybody else. You are a minister like you. Because many times when someone says, well, you've got, you know, you're called to be a minister. You're called to be a carrier of Jesus. You're called to be a carrier of the gospel. We immediately envision in our minds certain people who we deem, quote unquote, ministers. And it scares us to death to think that we would ever have to be like them. I don't want to ever be like him. I don't ever want to be like her. I've got good news for you. You don't ever have to be like him, and you don't ever have to be like her. You just have to be like you. And you are a unique individual, and you carry within you the package and the person of Jesus Christ, and you will dispense him the way you best dispense him. And if we can come to the place to where we're comfortable in our own skin and recognize that we don't have to be like anybody else, it takes a tremendous amount of pressure off us, and we can just go around about just leaking the love of God and the presence of God in the way that is truly us. Because you are unique. How are you today? Good. You are unique. You are unique. You are unique. You are definitely unique. And it's good to be unique. I've said for years, one of me is about all the world can handle. But guess what? One of you is plenty too. And there's got to come a place to where we recognize that this thing of quote unquote being a minister does not mean that we fit into some kind of a mold that is all whacked out and carries a big Bible and gets all worked up like some people do. The only reason I get worked up is to get you worked up. I'm actually a very quiet person. Well, most of the time. All right, some of the time. But how do we, how do we have anything to give away? Where do we pull from? And that's what I want to just look. I want us to look at a scripture this morning that might just help us understand. And again, you know what one of my favorite things to do is? To take the pressure off people. Bet you never heard a minister say that before. One of my favorite things is, and I believe it was the nature of Jesus, and again, I believe it is what made him so angry at the Pharisees, is because the Pharisees were constantly putting yokes on people, and Jesus was there to take them off. And this morning, I want to take some false yokes off you, and as soon as I know what they are, I will. But that's what this service this morning is all about. And that's what equipping the saints is all about. It is about validating who you are and giving you some tools to better be who you are and giving you some tools to better exhibit the love of God and the life of God. See, it says in the scripture, be ready to give an answer, what, for the big Bible you carry? No. Be ready to give an answer why you're so ornery and judgmental. No. Be ready to give an answer why you can't say three words without saying Jesus. No, it doesn't say that. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. Be ready to give an answer for the joy that is within you. You know that one of the best ways that you preach the gospel is with your countenance? Just who you are, just your demeanor, your countenance, your joy, your confidence. Not self-confidence, but confidence in who you are as a son or a daughter of God. I believe more than anything else, that is people's primary first impression of us. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have been around religious people who make your skin crawl? And you're saved. How do you think people who don't know God or don't, you know, haven't yet experienced the love of God, how do you think they feel? Okay. Gospel of John, chapter 7. We begin reading at verse 37. Very familiar scripture to us. on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So we see that the writer John perceives that when Jesus is speaking, he's speaking of something that was yet to come. He was speaking of the time and the season when the Holy Spirit would be poured out, not just a one-day event, but a point in history when from then on, people could be carriers of a river. I want to suggest to you this morning that there is a river inside of you. In fact, I want to suggest to you this morning when we were singing, if you, toward the end of worship, we went into what is called spontaneous worship or singing in the Spirit, whatever you want to call it. And I want to suggest to you that when we learn how to just open the valve and let out of our innermost being, out of our belly, out of our heart, some translations say, just let it flow, just let words come up. That's the river. And if we can become accustomed with speaking beyond our understanding, see, that's what prophecy is. Prophecy is one of the things that amazes me about our friend Alan Ross is he prophesies over people and he doesn't remember a thing that he said. And that doesn't surprise me in the sense that it isn't committed to memory, nor does it flow through the mind, but it bubbles up out of his spirit. That is prophetic. Those of you who prophesy in a way that you memorize a certain thing and then give it, that's not prophecy. That's just a sermonette. Come on. I remember being in a meeting once and I prophesied something I didn't even agree with. Really, a group of us leaders were, I can even tell you, we were considering whether to do the Mission Rwanda thing, and all that's being presented to us at that time. We met at the library for a prayer meeting. It's being presented to us, and all through the meeting, I'm saying, I don't think so. 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 I didn't think so. But then we went into a time of prayer after, and all of a sudden the prayer begins to rise up within me, and I just have to trust it, and I've learned just to trust and let whatever comes come, and just let the river flow, open the valve, and out of the innermost being comes these words like, if we will do this, and we will bless another community and another nation, God will bless this nation, this community. It's like, in the middle of it, my head is saying, wait, 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 wait. Wait, wait, wait. I thought we said no. See, that's the river. How many of you have ever sat in a restaurant across from someone who's pulling on you for advice or you for wisdom or encouragement, and you find yourself saying all kinds of things that are way smarter than you? That's the river. It isn't this demonstrative, but it is having within you the answer for the hope that is within you. It is having within you this wisdom that is beyond you and smarter than you. It is having within you words that you know not what you speak of. It is having within you the secrets of men's hearts being revealed as you speak. And it's like, how many of you have ever said this? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but how many of you have ever said, whoa, where'd that come from? I'm here to tell you this morning, it came from the river. It came from him who resides within you and delights to minister through you. You know, we think it'd be awesome if Jesus just all of a sudden manifest right here in our midst. My personal opinion is we would be freaked out. And rightly so. And some of you say, oh, no, I would love it. You'd probably be the most freaked out. The reality is Jesus had to come, the Word of God made flesh and dwelling among us. And He still comes in that way, but He comes in your flesh, in your body. He needs somebody to talk through. He needs somebody to lay hands on. He needs somebody to walk and carry the gospel. He needs somebody, buddy, body, B-O-D-Y, singular. He needs a body. And it's yours. And as different as we are in this room, as far as our body types and all of that, there's no, to the best of my knowledge, there's no identical twins in this room. And even if there was, somebody could tell them apart. In the same way that there's that uniqueness in the natural, so it is in the spirit. And we are uniquely us, and the way that that river flows through us is unique. And if we can become comfortable and quit getting condemned because we don't do it like so-and-so does, and we do it like we do, even if we don't do it a lot, but when we do it, it's effective, we can celebrate who we are. I've often said this, and I'll say it again. I've never, you know, we've married over 70 couples, and not once did I teach them to kiss. Nor did I have anyone ask me how. Why? Because it's about relationship. It's about intimacy. And so it is with this river. This river flows out of me coming to Jesus. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Last time I preached, on the importance of always staying anchored in Christ. That He must always be central, not the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor Bob, I thought we were talking about the Holy Spirit this morning. We are. But He, the Holy Spirit, wants to make sure that Jesus is always the focus. He takes the things that belong to Christ and makes them known to us. He will not speak on His own, but He'll speak of me, Jesus said. See, the Holy Spirit gets pumped when Jesus is glorified and magnified. And so it's about coming to Jesus. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. I know there is a hunger in this place for more, whatever that is. And I agree with you. I'm hungry for more too. I'm not sure we know what it looks like, but I do think it's going to come through you, not me. I believe it's going to come through us all rather than a few superstars, whatever that is. And I do believe it's going to come out there, not just in here. And I do believe it's going to come in ways that are really quite natural and yet amazingly supernatural. But it will come when we get into the point where we are comfortable in our own skin and we recognize that we carry the presence and the life of God and that there is a river that flows through us. But in our hunger for the more, we must always recognize that the door into the more is Jesus. He's always the door. He's the door to the Father's love. He's the door to the Holy Spirit. He's the door to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He is the door. He is the way and He is the truth and He is the life. And it does not matter what we want from God. It comes through Jesus. The simplicity of Jesus. It doesn't come through striving and straining. It comes through relationship with Jesus. It comes through coming to Him and then doing something. Praying 5 times a day. No. reading our Bible. No. It comes through drinking. You know, so often we want to focus on what we can do for Him. When we get in His presence, it's like, I personally believe there's times when God wants to say to us, shut up. Just have a drink. You're in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you bring me your grocery list? And I'm not knocking prayer, and I'm certainly not knocking reading the Word of God, but I am saying that beyond all of that, there must be a time when we come to Him, and it isn't about our effort on His behalf, it's about His effort on our behalf, and we just drink. There, you're doing it right there. Do that again. Will you do that again for me? Look at that. How old are you? He's 13 and he knows how to drink. And he did it himself. I'm not meaning to embarrass you. I'm serious. We make this thing of relating to God so complicated. It's like, well, you gotta drink. Do that again. I'll join you. Let's drink together, brother. Ready? See, I think that really one of the... Have you ever tried to get a drink from a fire hydrant? I think one of the jobs that you and I have in giving God away and letting people drink from this river, by the way, the river is not in the atmosphere somewhere, it's in you. It's not flowing in the front of the church. And I understand people see visions and I understand what that means. It just means there's the flowing of the Holy Spirit. No, the river's in you. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And I believe one of the things that we have to do in being carriers of the river, see, the secret is not being a fire hydrant. It's giving a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord. Our little granddaughter, Olivia, is just a little bit over 2, and she's just now learning to drink by herself. And part of the responsibility that you and I have is to teach others how to drink. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And not to do it by blasting them with the fire hydrant, but giving them a cup of cold water. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Some of you are encouragers. Some of you are exhorters. Some of you are very prophetic. Some of you just love people. Some of you flow with mercy. There's a vast way in which we let this river flow. And if we can become comfortable letting it flow through us the way it flows through us and recognize that God's pleased with that. So one of the things that we are going to do over... probably starting with the first years, we're just going to have some equipping classes where we help you discover who you are and then give you and validate that and then give you some tools to give away the river in a way that's uniquely you. How many of you are left-handed? Why? Don't you know you? Everybody knows you do it right-handed. Our paper's set up that way. Guns are set up that way. You've got to buy a special gun. Why don't you just be right-handed? Now, that sounds silly, and I know for some of our generations, there was great importance putting on being right-handed, which we discovered was not real wise. Why do I ask that? Because that's a good example in the natural of when we're uniquely us, some things will not work for us. Yes, but I can do all things through God who strengthens me. Well, have at it. Try. And those of you who are left-handed and forced, or are forced or force yourself to be right-handed, guess what? You're going to be terrible at what you do. I mean, it's going to be a challenge, and you're never going to feel quite natural. You're going to always feel inadequate because it's just this doesn't feel right. That's because it's not right for you. And we could take that through just all kinds of things, but then we can carry it into this whole thing of being a giver of the love of God, and we realize that, wow, we've tried to cram everyone through the cookie cutter school of this or that, and they come out unnaturally natural. Why? Because we're so uniquely us. How many of you have ever seen leaders that have leaders they've mentored who act like them, talk like them, carry the same briefcase they do, dress like them? When I see that, it's like, give me a break. And I understand honoring leaders, and I understand all that. But more than that, I understand coming to an understanding of who I am and being me. I've had times in my life when people have influenced me, and I knew that I had to spend some time away from them so that I could discover who I was based on what I learned from them without becoming more like them. See, we're here, the D groups are not here to make disciples of Wayne and Mary or Jeremy and Corey or Dan and Corey or Dan and Diane. We're here to make disciples of Jesus. And I have found that he has an amazing ability to be really, really unique in you and in me. Dave made the comment a few weeks ago, I'm glad I'm not like Bob. I knew what he meant. But that's why we're a good team. That's why 4 years ago, I passed the baton to him and said, you take the senior role, because he wasn't like me, and what this body needed at that time and still needs is him, like him, not like me. I got other stuff to do. If we can come to the place where we recognize the uniqueness of who we are, there's great liberty in that. There is a river that's flowing in you, and we need to grow in our ability to release that river uniquely the way we release it. But the secret to sustaining that river and maintaining that river is drinking. So what does drinking look like, Linda? Could Could you tell some of the young couples in the room how you're supposed to kiss? And neither can you tell people how to drink, really. I mean, because again, it's about intimacy with God. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me, Jesus speaking, and drink. Who took my water? But here's the reality of drinking, and I find this to be true in every culture, everywhere, all around the world. The reality of drinking is this: when I drink, I end up with something that I didn't have before I drunk. True? Now, our granddaughter, sometimes there's more in the bottle when she's started than when she's done. But when you learn the art of drinking, and again, it's true all around the world, if I take a drink from this bottle, there will be less in here and more in me. Hence, there is a logical deduction that drinking is receiving something. I'm not being critical, I don't think. I don't know yet. Sometimes we talk about soaking. Do you know that you could take a bath and a bath of water or a tub of water and sit in that tub and die of thirst? You could be in a swimming pool and become dehydrated. Think about it. I am. It just came to me. If you're here this morning and you think he's just making this up as he goes along, you're absolutely right. I'm just letting the river flow. But in our emphasis of soaking, we must recognize that there's more to, we must do more than just soak. Because you can soak and come away dry if you don't drink. Now, I know you've been taught not to swallow the tub water or the pool water. I personally think we should. Yes, I do. Because the reality is you can be surrounded by water and die of thirst if there's not an exchange and there's not a receiving of the water on the inside. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So you can be soaking wet. You can be and be dehydrated. You can soak all you want, but you got to learn to swallow. You got to learn to drink. By the way, I suppose that'd be kind of gross. By the way, if you just put water in your mouth and spit it out, you can die of dehydration. Might take a little longer. There's got to be, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. There's got to be a receiving. There's got to be. Now, in the case of Jesus speaking, the bottle is endless. It's ever filling. Someone had a vision this week as we prayed of this right here, just bubbling up with water. And that's a good picture of what's available to us. And she saw herself just with cups, just giving people to drink, but she could not give it away fast enough to empty it. And that is how it is. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You cannot deplete Jesus of his supply. But you can become depleted of your supply if you do not learn how to drink. And I want to suggest to you that the reason that prayer is important is not because it's a duty that I do, but it's because it's one way in which I can drink. I want to suggest to you that reading your Bible, however you do that, by the way, if you've lived under the condemnation that you've got to get up every morning at 5 and read your Bible and that makes you spit up, you know what I would do? I'd stop getting up at 5 and reading your Bible every day. If that's a chore for you, if that's like grievous for you and you're just going through the motions, that's not drinking. The reason we read the Word of God is to have a good drink, to be refreshed, to let it get just off the pages and inside of us. That's the reason that reading the Word is so important. That's the reason that prayer is so important. It is a way in which we connect with the source and we drink. But in your process of praying, take time to shh and let God speak to you. Let God fill you. Where's my bottle? I defy anyone to come up here, take this bottle, and take a good drink while talking. It's hard for something to come in when some stuff is going out. In fact, you see that on the altar sometimes. People come up and they're untie my bow tie, who stole my Honda, Shanda Mama Kulia. And it's like, whoa. Shh. And I know we're not supposed to say shut up, but shut up. Shh. Quit giving out and receive. Because you can't both receive and give out at the same time. It's kind of like the button on the CB radio or whatever. It's good to radio into bass. It's good to touch bass with bass, but then let your hand off the button so bass can communicate with you. And that's kind of what prayer needs to be. It needs to be a connecting with God and a coming into His presence and expressing our adoration, expressing our burdens, letting Him know if we're ticked off at Him. You know, it's okay to let God know you're just not really pleased with Him right now. He can handle it. But give Him time to tell Him how He feels about you. And you'll probably be shocked in those times when you're really mad at God. He's pretty pleased with you. Because if nothing else, at least you told Him so. That might be the first honest thing you said to God in a long time. Or me. Might be the first honest thing I said to God in a long time. But in the process of drinking, there's got to be taking in. If you're here this morning and you have found the Christian disciplines to be grievous, should we start a club? I realize some of you find it very easy to spend hours in prayer. God bless you, but make sure you drink. I know that many of you find it very easy to spend hours in the Word of God. God bless you, but make sure that it's going beyond getting information in your head and you're drinking the Spirit of the Word and letting it get inside you. Drinking is important. How do we drink? I mean, really. Linda's going to come up and tell us. No, I'm just kidding. It's a receiving. And probably as unique as drinking is, or as we are as individuals, so is the way in which we receive from God. I have found this, and I hope this sets you free. Not all of you in this room are all that impressed with worship and music. I mean, there's some of us that just love music, and it stirs prophetic juices in us, and the anointing rises up inside of us, and it's like, whoa, bring it on. Others of you, not so much, and you need to know that's okay, because worship is way more than music. That's one aspect of it, and it's a precious aspect, and it's awesome. But many of you are not moved by music. Many of you are more moved by other things, like the body of Christ. Many of you are, you are most blessed this morning because you're surrounded by people. And you're drawing energy from people who think like you do and believe. And some of you just don't even sing during worship. You sit and you listen and you're just enthralled by people. And then you get to go out in the lobby and have coffee with people after. And you get to talk to them. And you get to talk and talk and talk. And you get, and about that time, you've lost me, man. I want to get out of here. But anyway, you like that. So you do that. But don't be offended if I walk out the door. And others of you, you are just moved by the word of God. And it's like, oh, just eat it up. You're here every Sunday morning for one reason only, and that's to hear the preaching, and it better be good. And you'll listen to a CD of some preacher on the way home. And when you get home, you'll put in another CD and you'll listen to another preacher, another voice. What's wrong with you? But that's the way that you are filled. That's the way that you drink. That's the place of interaction for you. Others of you, you're bored out of your skin right here this morning. And you can't wait until you can leave this building, go home, have lunch, and go for a walk in the solitude of the sunshine, enjoy the trees, enjoy nature, and you are just going to come out of that just filled to the brim. You're going to drink in the awesome beauty of God. And you understand the verse that says, all creation praises me. All of creation cries out about me. And you just get enthralled by solitude and by being alone and by being in God's creation. And you need to know that's okay. But just make sure while you're there, you drink. Others of you, you're going to go home from here and you just don't understand why we didn't spend 2 hours just praying. Why didn't we just do it? Why didn't we just talk to God? And you're going to go home and you're going to spend time talking to God, and you're going to pray to Him, and you might put on a little music and just let the music talk for you, but you're just going to spend time in His presence. Awesome. While you're there, just make sure you drink. And again, that's not giving out. That's taking in. That's receiving. And I suppose others of you are going to go home and watch the Vikings game. I am. Others of you, find that we just see and hear God throughout the day. Just we watch a movie and all of a sudden we get a revelation that we're going to preach 3 Sundays from now. Or you see God in everything, and you just recognize that everything around you has the potential to carry a message to you, and it's like, whoa, that's amazing. And you're just prophetic, and so you're picking up stuff all the time, and so you just hear and see on the run. You drink and drive, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with drinking and driving. Well, there isn't. McDonald's has made a bundle on drive-through coffee, and so has Starbucks. And there's nothing wrong with drinking and driving. Drunken driving's not so good. So some of you, you see God in the shower. It's like stuff you just, and it's maybe because you're quiet for the first time all day. I don't know. But all of a sudden, God just starts downloading stuff. See, these are some of the ways that we drink. And if we can get past the standard ways, this is the way you do it. And if we can become comfortable with the way that we connect with God and the way that we relate to God, in a few months, some of you are going to go deer hunting and you are going to connect with God in some awesome ways. And we need to know that's okay. Much rather have you sitting out in the woods thinking about God rather than sitting in church thinking about deer. We need to find liberty in who we are. Because if we do not have liberty in how we drink, then we'll never have liberty in how we give it away. In a little bit, kids are going to join us and we're going to have communion. And it is an opportunity to drink. It's an opportunity to receive. You know, communion isn't just a symbolic act. As we partake of the juice and the bread, it is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can receive of Him. But that is true all throughout our day. Prayer is not just a symbolic act. It is a drinking. It is a receiving. How many of you recognize the presence in this room right now? So drink. Just draw in. Don't inhale. Don't exhale. Inhale. For many of us, this may be the quietest time that we'll have all week. And I don't mean that. I mean, that's just the reality of life that in this day. Can you sense or recognize the reality of a God that has the ability to be present in this room? And can you sense the reality of an ability that we can have to pull Him in, take Him in? That's all Jesus meant. See, when He said, "Come to me and drink," John understood He was talking about a day that was yet to come. And it would be a day when Jesus was no longer there to come to. In the physical sense. Because John said that day will not come until Jesus is glorified. And when Jesus was glorified, He was sitting at the right hand of the Father. I know he came back for a few days and all of that, but the reality is that when Jesus says, come to me, he knew full well he was speaking of that which was to come, which was coming to a Jesus who wasn't there. Or is he? Is he here this morning? Can we come to him this morning? Now, if you're here this morning and you just don't really sense anything, that's okay. But some of you do. So, drink. By the way, you don't have to get drunk every time you drink. You know, there's a saying, well, you know, he drinks. I hope so. And I know we associate it with drunkenness and alcohol, but the reality is we all drink. I hope. Speaking in the natural now, we have to drink or you die. And so it is in the spirit. We've got to drink. We've got to take in. You've got to pull from outside yourself. You are not the river. Many times, if we study the word hard enough, we can become a source unto ourselves. We can go on and on about the book, but it's kind of dry because it doesn't come out of here, it comes out of here. If there's anyone here this morning that's in Bible school, please make sure you spend a lot of time drinking so that you are just not educated in your head and have no understanding in your heart. That you know all about the book, but you've never met the author. Several years ago, I had a vision of an author at a book signing. And his books were on the table and people were just clamoring over his books and he was off in the corner weeping. And I understood that the book was the Bible and the author was the Holy Spirit. And I said, Lord, why is he weeping? And don't let this freak you out. I wasn't in heaven or anything. I just had a perception in my spirit. I don't even see visions like Marcy does or some of you do. But I had a perception in my spirit. And I just asked, why is he weeping? And the author said, because they're more infatuated with my book than they are with me. That is a danger for some of us. I thank God for the book. But when I really get life out of it is when the author's in the room. Serving up coffee with it. And we drink together. And I get something just not up here, but in here. I want to encourage you that you know how to drink more than you think you do. You know how to receive from God more than you think you do. I want to suggest that for most of us, it is not about how, it is about the time, when. It is about giving time. Some of us, probably in this room, are so busy that sometimes we don't even really have time to sit down in the natural for a meal. I mean, really sit down and actually really have a meal. Remember, Marcy says her dad used to eat most of his meals standing up. And many times we can be like that. It's like we're on the run so much and as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. In the same way, it's not about not knowing how to drink. It's about taking the time and making it a priority. For many of us, we may feel, well, I just don't have anything left to give out. That's the beauty of it. You don't give out, you take in. You know what I like about this? This water right now is expecting absolutely nothing from me. And I've got nothing to offer it. How was class? Be honest. See, many of us in our daily lives feel really strung out. And I want to suggest to you that what you need to do is spend some time just drinking, just receiving from God, just giving Him time. Ken, you want to remind Sean to let the kids in? You want to go remind Sean the kids are supposed to have been in here 3 minutes ago? And so one of the keys, I believe, for all of us is not how, but doing it, just giving time for it. Because the secret of being refreshed in our spirit is almost as simple as taking a drink of water or a cup of coffee or a Coke or whatever. But it's taking the time to receive it. Ben and Gavin, can you help serve communion in that section? John and Ashley, could you help serve in that section? Roy and Arlene, could you help serve in that section? One of the ways that we can receive from God is through communion. Jesus said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you." See, eating and drinking are very much the same. It has to do with what's going in. It has to do with receiving. The night, you guys could sit down for just a minute. I didn't mean to call you up so soon. I just wanted you to serve when it's time. Oh, look at this. Let's see you guys sit down like that, Roy. I can't do that. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, we know that he took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And in the same way, the scripture tells us that he took the cup and he said, "Take and drink. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. And as often as you eat of this or drink of this, you do it in remembrance of me." There was an amazing price that was paid so that you and I could drink. And we didn't have to wonder about whether or not we were qualified to drink. In one sense, we're not. In the other sense, we are. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And so we can come boldly before the throne of grace, and we can ask for grace in time of need. We can come to Him anytime and drink, and even when we blow it. Who is that kid? But I can guarantee you, Mom and Dad will still give her a drink. And our Heavenly Father would never withhold Himself from us. He doesn't operate that way. We'll ask parents to help your children. We'll hold the bread and all eat together. While you're waiting, drink. Receive out of the presence and the atmosphere in the room. Father, we thank you for the body of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it is a representation of the price that he paid for every aspect of our body, soul, and spirit. We thank you that there's nothing we've suffered that he didn't suffer on our behalf. Let's eat together the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus called this the blood of the new covenant. And did you know that in the old covenant you couldn't drink? I mean, not like we can now in the sense of drinking of the presence of God. In fact, you had to enter the presence of God with fear and trembling, and only a few could, and they were priests. And they would tie a rope around their ankle in case when they went into the Holy of Holies, they were not acceptable to God and he struck them dead, they could drag them out. And they put bells around the bottom of their garments because they didn't have any way of knowing whether they were dead or not because no one was about to go in and find out. So if they heard the bells quit ringing on their garments, they assumed they apparently quit moving and they're dead. That's the old covenant. So this morning we're celebrating the new covenant that allows us to come boldly into the presence of God. In fact, get this. The presence of God is in us. So complete was the work at the cross, so complete was the blood of Jesus Christ, that now the Holy of Holies is not out there somewhere, and it's not me going into it, but it comes into me. And I am the Holy of Holies. I am the abiding place of God. How's that for a new covenant? That's why we get so excited about celebrating this. It's the blood of the new covenant that allows us to come and drink. It allows us to approach God. It allows us to come boldly in his presence. Father, we thank you for the blood of the new covenant. We thank you for the price that was paid, Father. We thank you for the completeness of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that removed every obstacle between you and us. We thank you for the priest, Jesus Christ, who entered your presence once and for all for us, that we might follow him in. Let's drink together the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for the privilege you give us to come into your presence. We thank you for the privilege you give us to refresh ourselves every day. We thank you for the privilege you give us to relate to you in the way that best fits who we are. We thank you, Father. We ask you to bless each family, each household. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.